Hello and welcome to Finch Shorts Daily. In today's episode, we discuss Daniel Kahneman's prospect theory. Before we start today's episode, here's a quick side note from Team Ditto. If you're a person who's great at communicating and are enthusiastic to join our team, Ditto is looking to recruit new insurance advisors. You don't even need to know about insurance. We would train you from scratch and you can enjoy working remotely with a great team. If you are interested or know someone who is, please click the link in the description below. Now, on to today's episode. Daniel Kahneman passed away on 27th March, and all our LinkedIn feeds are probably filled with people telling our stories about why Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, is the best book ever written. And there's no denying it's a great book, but it also draws heavily from the research he conducted in the preceding decades, research that won Daniel Kahneman, a psychologist with no formal training in economics, the Nobel Prize in Economics in 2002. So in today's episode, we thought we would talk about what led him to winning this prestigious award. If you've ever taken an economics class, you'll know that the number one assumption embedded into most classic theories or models is that human beings are rational. This assumption says that we will make sensible choices in our own self-interest. There's even a term for this, homo economicus. But Kahneman didn't believe in this theory of rationality. He was a trained psychologist who knew that human beings are complex creatures with their own kinks. So when he came across an economics paper in 1970 that stated something so absurd, he knew that he had to do something. He called up his friend Amos Tversky, a fellow psychologist in Israel, and they got to work to debunk some theories. First things first. They addressed decision-making or rationality in a paper in 1971. They said that human beings probably operated using two systems, one based on intuition and the other for reasoning. And the thing was that human beings like to avoid cognitive efforts as much as possible, that we didn't like mulling over things too much, that we preferred to use shortcuts or rules of thumb that would save time and mental bandwidth. So system one, which relied on intuition, often took over. For instance, let me ask you a question. A bat and a ball cost 110 rupees in total. The bat costs 100 rupees more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? If your immediate answer was 10, you're wrong. Because you chose the answer because 110 splits naturally into 110. So it seems right. But if you had thought about it for a few seconds, you would have realized that the ball is just 5 rupees. Since the bat is 100 rupees more than the ball, the bat actually costs 105 rupees. You let system 1 take over and didn't slow down enough to let system 2 run through its deliberations. And most people end up in the same boat. We tend to trust a judgment that quickly comes to mind. And that could also lead to making wrong economic decisions that wouldn't work in our favor. It could have to do with a whole variety of things. It could depend on how a question is framed or even how recently information about something relevant has been made available to us. But it all boils down to the fact that rationality isn't our strong suit. So once they had proven that human beings weren't rational, the next question was, how do people make decisions when there's risk involved? For instance, let's say I ask you to flip a coin. I tell you that depending on the outcome, you win 750 rupees or you lose 500 rupees. Why would you take that risk? Now, back in the day, economic models followed something called the expected value theory. This says that since people are rational, they will calculate the probability of winning or losing. And since this is a coin flip that's a 50-50 shot, then you will think that since you could potentially win more than you lose, it's worth a try. So you will take a risk and flip it. But in the 1700s, Swiss mathematician Daniel Bernoulli tutted his head and said this wasn't true. And that even if the expected value suggested that you flip it, many people wouldn't. And that's because it all depends on the utility that people ascribe to the wealth. Basically, your decision to flip it will depend on how useful you think the wealth of 750 rupees is going to be, or how much you will benefit from it. This was the expected utility theory. And for 300 years, this was the model most economists followed. It was based on rationality too, until Kahneman and Tversky came along and said, hold on, we believe that's incorrect. We think that these sort of decisions actually depend on an initial reference point, and it's not just based on the final utility. So they explain this with an example. Problem 1, you have X rupees in your bank account, but we give you an additional 1000 rupees and then ask you to choose between these options. You have a 50% chance to win 1000 rupees or get 500 rupees for sure. What would you choose? You will probably take the sure thing, right? Problem 2. You have X rupees in your bank account, but we give you an additional 2000 rupees and then ask you to choose between these options. You have a 50% chance to win 1000 rupees or lose 500 rupees for sure. In this case, you will probably take the gamble. But if you think about it clearly, in terms of the final state of wealth, both A and B are the same. Both offer the certainty of being richer by 1,500 rupees. So as per the expected utility of wealth, you should have made the same choice in both cases. But the reference point made a bigger difference in decision making. The reference point is higher than your current wealth by 1,000 rupees in problem 1 and by 2,000 rupees in problem 2. And that means you end up thinking of the possible gain while evaluating problem 1 and the possible loss while making a decision in problem 2. And it wasn't just that. Let's take the initial coin flip example. When Kahneman and Tversky ran their experiments, they found that in a game of 50-50 probabilities, people would reject the game unless the possible win was at least twice the size of the possible loss. And this led them to conclude that people are naturally risk-averse, but the pain from a loss was also two times the joy from a gain. The result of this became the prospect theory in 1979 and changed the face of economics. Anyway, there's just one thing. Just because he won the Nobel Prize in Economics didn't mean that Daniel Kahneman was never wrong. The bestseller, Thinking Fast and Slow? Well, that was riddled with errors. Okay, it wasn't completely his fault, but more the fault of the studies he had relied on for the book. For instance, Kahneman used a field of psychology called social priming in his book while trying to explain concepts. For the uninitiated, social priming simply means that if you present a subtle cue or stimuli, it can influence people's behavior at a later stage. And one of the biggest fake stories to explain this theory is when a theater showed the words "eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola" for a few seconds on screen. Everyone rushed to buy them without really knowing why they suddenly had the craving, and the sales shot up. But later research showed that social priming was not accurate. Researchers couldn't replicate the results, and it simply didn't work. So yes, Kahneman got a few things wrong in his time. But here's what we should know. He never let his mistakes deter him. He accepted them. And in fact, he was actually pretty proud of the mistakes. He believed there was pleasure in finding out that he was wrong because it then meant he would learn something new. And that's quite a LinkedIn-esque takeaway that everyone needs, right? Until then, rest in peace, Daniel Kahneman.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. FinShots Daily is available on a bunch of streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.